A Word for Today, Lionsdown's daily podcast to help you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. Nothing could matter more. This isn't to replace your personal Bible reading and prayer, but rather encourage and help you in it.
Welcome back to A Word for Today. It's Saturday the 11th of July, and we're continuing our study of Mark's Gospel. We've seen Jesus enter the scene. We've seen him symbolically in the baptism of John the Baptist, commit to undergo the death of a sinner, that is at the heart of his saving work, something of which his father expressed approval in verse 11. We've seen him beginning to proclaim the gospel, to call his first disciples, discipleship being the authentic response to the gospel. And we've seen an amazing deliverance by the teaching of the gospel of a man from whom comes an evil spirit. He is possessed by an evil spirit, and Jesus rebukes and drives out the evil spirit. And we're going now to continue from Mark chapter 1 and verse 29. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Do you remember Simon and Andrew were the two disciples he first called, according to verse 16, and James and John were the second, according to verse 19. Verse 30. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak, because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is what I came for." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Well, there's a lot going on in that material, isn't there? So firstly, let's deal with the healing of Simon's mother-in-law. It doesn't seem a terribly dramatic miracle in itself. There she is, lying ill with a fever, and Jesus takes her by the hand and she immediately gets up. But the striking thing is that she gets up and immediately begins to serve them. You see, when you recover from a fever, you want to sit around for a few days feeling sorry for yourself and gathering your strength. But she is immediately delivered of this and then committed to serve. And it demonstrates perhaps the principle, saved to serve. I remember years ago with the Christian Fellowship in the Ministry of Defence, we organised a series called Saved to Serve. And we told the stories of how people were saved, mainly in the military, in the armed forces, and how they were saved in order to serve. That is the reason for being saved. It is to become fishers of men and to serve the church. And that's the picture, I think, of what we get from Simon's mother-in-law. But then what follows is a very dramatic picture. That evening at sunset, you see, sunset would have been the end of the day. The day runs from sunset to sunset, and the Sabbath would have ended at sunset. And when they are freed, therefore, of Sabbath restrictions, we see they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. Now, in a city, that would have been a lot of people. We're told in verse 33, the whole city was gathered together at the door. And then verse 34, what it really says is not that Jesus healed many of them. It's rather saying there were many of them and Jesus healed them all. And it was an amazing miracle. There was nothing selective about the deliverances of Jesus. Whatever it was, he delivered them. And it gives us a picture of the amazing authority and power of Jesus. There is nothing that can stand in his way. We've seen him overcome human will in the appointing of his disciples. We've seen him overcome demonic power in that man in the synagogue who was demon-possessed and delivered. And now we see it over sickness and further demon possession. Jesus just deals with it instantly. Now imagine that that could happen in the modern world. Imagine that you lived in New Barnet and you had this power of Jesus and you decided to demonstrate this power to the world. So very early one morning you went into central London and you entered a hospital and you just walked through the hospital curing every single person. And I mean completely curing them, not just making them feel better, but making them fit to go home. Everybody just got up and packed their cases and went home. Imagine you did that to all the hospitals in central London, just by walking through them, by walking down the wards. Everyone was made well and got up and packed their things and left. And the doctors and nurses were all standing around saying, well, we've got nothing to do now. What should we do next? I guarantee that lockdown or no lockdown, by lunchtime, every road into London would be jammed. And I think I could guarantee that by tea time, aircraft would not be able to land at Heathrow. You see, the world would be beating a path to your door. Here is somebody who can deliver humankind from everything, the most heartbreaking situations that we're in. We would want this problem solved. And that's the picture of what is really going on here. Jesus has become an overnight celebrity. Everybody wants a piece of the action. And that's why in verse 35, we have a curious little story where Jesus gets up very early in the morning to go to a desolate place and to pray. And I've heard this preached as, you know, you very important to have your quiet time in the morning and get up early and go and pray. And of course, that's true. But I don't think that's the point that we're being taught in this story. Jesus only prays three times in Mark's Gospel, and each time is a crisis, a real crisis. And this particular occasion, what is the crisis? Well, it's brought out in the following verses, which I read. We see that Simon, who is the leader of the disciples, they're hunting everywhere for Jesus, and eventually they find him, and they say in verse 37, unsurprisingly, everyone is looking for you. Everyone wants more of what you did last night. And what does Jesus say? You see, here is the crisis he faced. Is he going to be a wonder healer who is going to deliver the world of sickness and illness and pain and suffering? Or is he going to walk that hard path of discipleship that we shall see leads to the cross? And what does he say in verse 38? Let us go on to the next towns, that I may what? Preach there also, for that is what I came for. Here we have a mission statement of Jesus. What he is saying is not that's why I came here, but rather that's why I left heaven and came to earth. He's saying this is the reason for the incarnation. I have come to preach. What did he come to preach? Well, verses 14 and 15 tell us he came to proclaim. It really means the same thing, the gospel. Jesus came to preach the gospel. The gospel is so important that it pulled God out of heaven down to earth. And then in verse 39, we see Jesus doing what he came to do. He went throughout all Galilee preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons, because of course demons were always waking up. As soon as the word of God is preached, Satan must oppose it. And so we see that Jesus' preaching is always accompanied by these exorcisms. What does it tell us? Well, it tells us what Mark has already told us in the very beginning of the gospel. This is the gospel for the forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus is all about. It's not about anything else. It's about that. Nothing matters more than that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the gospel of the forgiveness of sins. And we pray, Father, that many would understand this. We pray that your church would be faithful to this message, ever preaching the cross, ever pointing to the reason that Jesus came, not turning aside to other things. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
A word for today, helping you abide in Jesus by seeing to it that his word abides in you. This podcast was brought to you by Lionsdown at lionsdown.org.